Welcome back into Morning Drive. Hour 3 is live here on a Friday, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting inside of Kitchen Notes, the Omni Nashville Hotel. Nick Hale, Braden Gall, Derek Mason, Chase McCabe, intern producer Charles Chuck Conley the Fifth.
Charles Chuck Conley.
I think
Cologne.
I don't know.
Cologne.
It's just what came out of my
Chip.
Mouth. Chip. As we get
Clifford.
Ready to... Not Clifford Robinson.
Or the big red dog.
Yeah.
Let's talk some Titans with our man, Teron Davenport, Titans reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. And, of course, the podcast, Talking with TD. What's going on, Teron? How are you, bud?
Hey, what's going on? I'm good. Allergies, you know what I mean? I'm still adjusting to that down here, boy. This is crazy.
Oh, yeah. It's only going to get worse for you.
You got to pop a Zyrtec, man. Take a Zyrtec.
It's going to get worse before it gets better.
There you go. So, TD, let me ask you about this. Now, I saw you tweet out about a day ago, ESPN's Football Power Index. I love how ESPN likes to create these random metric assessment things, but they project the Titans to have 8 wins. They give them a 35% chance to make the playoffs. You have them at 11-5 for your prediction, and that's been one of the common themes on this show. Braden and Derek think 10-11 is well within play, but yet a lot of the analytics and even the handicappers in Vegas, they all think the Titans are in that 8, 8.5, 9 range. So is this one of the teams, and maybe this is a difficult question, but around the league where the discrepancy in projected win total is as wide as it is for any other team around the league?
Yeah, it probably is as wide for this team as any other. I think it's just that uncertainty of the quarterback. I think that's something that a lot of these national outlets are not really putting stock in. I think they don't believe that he's going to play all 16 games, and I think that's one of the reasons why they feel that this team will only win 8 to 9 games, whereas we were kind of here a little more involved, and we're leaning towards him playing most games, but even with him out, them still being successful.
If I told you, Teron, that Marcus Mariota was a far more efficient quarterback rating and yards per attempt under center than he was in the shotgun, what would your reaction be?
I wouldn't be surprised, but it's interesting because considering how much he played, you know, shotgun in college, and that's where he had his success. So I wouldn't be surprised, but it definitely would be interesting. To hear that. Is that true?
Yeah. His quarterback rating is up over 100 under center, and his quarterback rating out of the shotgun was at like 88. He had like 8.6 yards per attempt at under center, 7.3, which is a huge margin for those who don't follow yards per attempt as far as yards per attempt statistic. He also threw the ball twice as often out of the shotgun as he did under center, which is to be understood.
Yeah, I would imagine that under center – And the yards per throw or completion rather being higher because of that play action. I think that's something that definitely makes that figure a little bit more. So it's not surprising. And that being said, they need to get more play action, especially if they're going to look to establish the run the way that they're looking to do so this year.
Yeah, because I think Mark is the year from a statistical standpoint. Where he had his best year, I think his second year, he was phenomenal in the play action. Red zone, he was phenomenal. So maybe they continue to stick with that theme, put him in a lot of situations where he's in, you know, underneath center, where he's doing a lot of play action and getting those sweet spots in the defense. There's a consensus around the football world that everyone respects Louis Riddick and his assessment of either a team or an individual. He has some interesting things to say about a few guys on the Tennessee Titans roster. Corey Davis, comparing him somewhat to Jerry Rice in the sense of, you know, how he runs and maybe his route running. But we understand there was more to Jerry than just him running around. He was consistent at right. Highly consistent at catching the football and making plays each and every week. But he had something interesting to say about Derrick Henry, which I didn't really agree with. And it was the notion that Derrick Henry isn't the bell cow. I don't know if the definition of bell cow is no longer the same. I think, you know, 15, 20 years ago, bell cow was a guy that carried the ball 25 times, and it didn't account for catching the ball out of the backfield. But a bell cow nowadays is a lot different. But yet, and still, I do believe if you're talking strictly about carrying the football, Derrick Henry is a bell cow type of back. But he said Derrick Henry is not and needs someone else behind him. How do you feel? Do you think his assessment was spot on, or do you see Derrick Henry as, especially from running the football, is he a bell cow type of back?
I think from a carrying the rock perspective, he's 100% a bell cow type of back. And it goes back to what you said, touching the ball, running wise, 20 to 25 times. And I think that's what he needs, 20 to 25 touches. Carrying the football. I'm not talking about screens. I'm talking about carrying the football. He needs that to be as effective as he is capable of being. And I think when Lewis Riddick, I think when he is talking about bell cow, he is talking about that three down guy that on third downs, you know, he's still a threat catching the ball out of the backfield, and also a really good guy at picking up the blitz. And we know that's an area for improvement when it comes to Derrick Henry. His Corey Davis comment I thought was interesting. I don't see that similarity stylistically. I remember Corey Davis coming out. I felt that he was very similar stylistically to Terrell Owens, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But back to Henry, yeah, he's a bell cow, and I don't see how you can say he isn't when it comes to looking at him as a ball carrier.
But I think that's the issue, though, and to Derek, as Derek alluded to, Teron, we define bell cow differently today than we did in 1997. Not a single NFL player got more than 19 carries per game last year. Saquon Barkley was number two in the NFL at 16 carries per game last year, but he caught 91 passes. So there is no running back in the world that now averages 20 carries a game. So is it reasonable to expect Derrick Henry to average 22, 23 carries a game when no other human being on the planet is doing that?
I'm not saying expect him to average 20 to 25 carries a game, but you're going to need to have those games where he does have 25 carries, and you're going to need to eliminate those games where he has four. So I think you have to kind of, you know, contextualize it. And those games last year where he didn't have many carries, you know, he would have four for 7 yards, and everybody would say he was a bum. And say, well, you know what, you have to understand the type of runner that he is. He's not that guy. And that's why I thought grabbing someone like a Trevion Williams who could get you, you know, 80 yards on 7 to 8 carries just because of how explosive he is, I thought that would have been a good thing. But he's just not that guy to get you a lot of yards on limited carries.
Teron, final one for me. Report earlier this week that the Tennessee Titans will not be pursuing Ndamukong Suh. Is that the correct decision, or do you think it was worthwhile to at least inquire about him, considering the lack of proven playmakers on your front four?
I think it's the correct decision, but it just goes back to something I've said before. They got to find out what they have in Austin Johnson. This is a high draft pick. You know what I mean? So there are younger guys who are really put on the burner that they have to figure out, okay, what is it that we have in him? I mean, signing Sue would have been something that, yeah, obviously you can never have too many good players, but I think there's things that have to be done from an evaluation standpoint. And then if you sign Sue, is it to a one-year deal? Does he want a one-year deal? You know what I mean? Because I wouldn't do it if I was him, and I wouldn't go beyond a year if I was the Titans, because you got – Jeffrey Simmons, you know, and if he doesn't play next year, you guys might not have Braden in the chair with you. So we got to make sure that, you know, Jeffrey Simmons is ready to go and he gets his opportunity.
Don't give me any ideas, Teron.
TD, good stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Thanks, bud.
Yeah, for sure. And before I go, D. Mason, I was talking to Drew Bennett yesterday. He asked me to tell you what's up. He's going to be on Talking TD next week.
Old Drew, my running mate. He and had probably
the best combo
season.
Well,
we had the best combo season in Titan history, and it might have been one of the best combo season in Titan Oiler history.
How much faster were you than he was? in the race. Could he hang?
No,
with
he
you?
Had no, no, but yeah, no, 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 no. But Drew was the thing about Drew. It I hate the word, but he was sneaky fast. He had long strides.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah, he had long strides and he could pick up yardage. Once he get going, you look at him and you say, "Well, he's not gonna run by me." And then he gets up on you and he's by you.
Yep, Teron.
And he can jump. I mean, he can jump out the gym. He was a volleyball guy. He could jump out the gym.
See, Teron, that's all the things those college scouts said about me back in the day, too, man.
Now he could jump higher than I. He was a much higher. He had a higher vertical than I did.
Is that because he was like 3 or 4 inches taller?
No, because the height, your height doesn't mean anything.
It's how far you get off the floor.
Yes, how far
and how long your arms are or whatever.
He was a volleyball guy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
He had, you know, the ability to jump much higher than I did. So
good stuff, Teron. We appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Talk to you guys. Take care.
There you go.
See, all you need is you need a 5'10" burner on one side. And you need a 6'2" volleyball player on the other side, and you're good to go.
See, Drew was 6'4".
Yeah, he was bigger.
Yeah, Drew was, and he had long. He was just a gangly guy.
So you got the red zone big gangly guy on the left side, and then you got the track star on the other side.
Yeah,
you're good to go.
And then if Kevin would have stayed injured, if Kevin would have stayed healthy, oh my goodness, we probably, and then Justin McCarron's,
So Drew Brennett was sneaky quick.
Yeah.
You just can't,
he wasn't quick.
Straight line
he
fast.
He wasn't quick. He was just, straight once he fast. Gets the ball in his hands, he was a big fella. It was going to be hard to bring him down.
Just can't give the white receiver any love, can you?
I gave him all the love.
I said he jumped.
Why is he got to make it about race?
I said he jumps higher than me. He had better hair than I did.
No, the jumping higher thing, that's, hey, you come on now.
Yeah, he can
why you
got to
make it about race?
Yeah, he can jump out of the gym now.
All right, these breaks were sneaky quick. We're back after this on Morning Drive.